Today we'll be reading from John 17, verses 12 through 19 in the English Standard Version. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the Son of Destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I did not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. This is the word of God.
Now, all scripture is inspired. All scripture is valuable. The whole book of John is a beautiful gift to us in God's word. But there is something special about John 17. There is something about this prayer of Jesus, the longest recorded prayer of Christ, that brings us into his heart and his desires and what was a burden to him as he prepared to go to the cross for us. We've been in John 17 for a couple of weeks. I just wanted to recap for you a little bit. The first couple of verses bring us into the theme of Jesus' prayer. Father, glorify me that I may glorify you. This was Jesus' agenda, ultimately to glorify the Father, but he knew the best means to that end was that he himself, the Lord Jesus, be glorified, that he be lifted up on the cross, which of course is exactly what happened then, and he has been lifted up throughout history as the turning point of history. And by Jesus' name being glorified, God's name has been honored. And what we saw a couple weeks ago is how God the Father glorified Jesus. First, by giving him authority over the world that Jesus had created, the Father sent the Son with full authority over the world and gave him a people to redeem. And Jesus, by redeeming us, then presents us back as a gift to the Father. God the Father presented the Son as the full revelation of the Godhead. To see Jesus is to see the Father. To know Jesus is to know the Father, and that is eternal life, to come into a relationship with God through Jesus. The Father gave the Son work to accomplish, to live a life of perfect righteousness, to succeed where Israel had failed, to be the true Israel, and then give that perfect life as the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. And finally, the Father glorified the Son by giving him life after death through the resurrection. Now, corresponds how we can glorify Jesus in similar ways. Jesus has all the authority, and he's given that authority to us, to operate as kingdom agents and ambassadors for him by reaching the people that he's positioned us to reach in this time, in this place, through your relationships. We honor the Lord Jesus by building those relationships and reaching out to people. And as we do, we present Jesus as the full revelation of the Godhead, as the God who became flesh, who came to dwell among us and give his life as a ransom for many. And just as Jesus did the work the Father gave him, he said, as the Father sent me, so now I have sent you. And so we have work, that we honor Jesus by doing that work that he's given to us individually and corporately, and we trust him who conquered death with our own death and eternity. Then we saw last week three victories of the Lord Jesus. First, he is the one who revealed the name of God, the nature and identity of God. What a beautiful prayer that Jesus said. I have kept them in your name, which you have given me. This is where we are safe. This is where we have life and blessing, is in the name that Jesus revealed. And he also proclaimed God's word, explaining the purposes and plans of God from the dawn of time. And he also accomplished God's mission, not only saving us, but uniting us in himself with all who have believed and will believe after us. So that brings us now to really the center of John 17. You'll see all these themes continue into this section, and we'll see three petitions of the Lord Jesus that we can not only join him in praying, but that we can prayerfully pursue in his name. Three petitions in this section that the Lord Jesus prays, and we can join him in praying and also pursuing. First, Lord, protect us in your name. Jesus said, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. Remember, this is the prayer of Jesus. He's talking to the Father. We are simply listening in, and Jesus is praying, I have kept them. Now, what's special about the name of Jesus, the name Yeshua in Hebrew would have been a common name at the time. It simply means Savior. But we learn from the birth accounts that Jesus was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. He carried the title of Christ, the Messianic King long awaited from Israel, and we call him Lord, the covenant name of God by which God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. The God who is, the God of all being, the God who says, I am, has sent you. When we proclaim Jesus is Lord, we are professing his name as the God of the covenant with Israel. And this is where we are safe. This is how Jesus protects all of his followers. He is our shelter from judgment. I've guarded them. Not one has been lost except the son of destruction. Judas' example is a tragic one, but a necessary one, as foretold in the Old Testament, that one would betray Jesus and would suffer for it. But Jesus uses Judas as a negative example of all of the others that he has protected in his name. We know from Romans 8:1 that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The wages of sin is death. What all of us deserve as sinners before a holy God is to fall under his holy judgment, to pay for our sins ourselves. But there is one place of safety where we can run for refuge, and it is for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is why I like the analogy of an umbrella. If you think of the wrath of God as lava that is going to fall from the sky, and Jesus as the titanium umbrella under whom you can find shelter and safety. I like this analogy. I had an evangelism professor who said, we can talk about Jesus and explain that he is the Savior, the protection from the wrath of God, but if you don't explain the gospel in words people can understand, there's no handle for them to hold on to, and so the handle is the gospel itself, by which we understand that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. People need the good news. They need the explanation of how they can appropriate this provision. The shelter of Jesus is not applied to people automatically. It is only those who call on the name of the Lord who are saved. And by calling on that name, they take hold of the provision that God has made and come under this shelter of the protection of the Lord Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and there's salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, we know this principle in small application in our own life. If a second grader is out on the playground and someone is picking on them, but there's an older brother across the yard, they could call the name of the brother and the brother would come and intervene. Or if a kid is having trouble in school and there's an issue with a teacher, the child can call on the parents and the parents can step in and intervene. Or if you're having an issue and someone attacks you on the street or invades your home, you call 911. And you appeal to the police, who hopefully will respond quickly and come to your aid. If you're overseas and you find yourself in trouble with a foreign government, you can call in the U.S. Embassy. And the resources of the U.S. government would come to your aid as a citizen of this country. Now, if we know this by our human experience, that we can call on a name and find help, how much more is this true of the Lord Jesus, the name that is above every other name, the authority who is over all other authorities, and we know his name personally. That simply to pause and pray and call on the name of Jesus is to come under his protection. That's how you get saved in the first place, is recognizing you're a sinner deserving judgment. You say, Jesus, save me from my sins. And you are taken from being dead in sin and you are moved into a new position and are alive in Christ. But the same principle applies day by day, moment by moment. Jesus is not only our eternal shelter from judgment, he is our daily, continual shield from the attacks of the enemy. I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Isn't God's plan of salvation interesting? He could have designed it that at the moment someone got saved, they poof and go straight to heaven. I mean, wouldn't that have been an interesting system? And it would have, the ripple effect of that would have been really interesting. And it's like, there goes another one, there goes another. Like, what happened, you know? And then people are left to try and figure out the, like, what the, you know, how that worked. That's obviously not the way God set it up. That we are saved and forgiven and transformed, and he leaves us here because there's work for us to do to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world, and to help other people understand our salvation and lift up the name of Jesus. Some of us remember the old Star Trek TV show. How many times, it was like 90% of the time, they would get out of trouble by saying, beam me up, Scotty, right? No matter what the problem was, like, they would just suddenly dematerialize and be on the ship and be safe, you know? And sometimes we want that from the Lord, right? Sometimes we want that, Lord, just get me out of this situation. But the way he operates, isn't this interesting, that Jesus, as he prays, he says, I don't ask you to take them out of the world. What I ask you, Father, is to protect them, to keep them from the attacks of the enemy. And this is how he taught us to pray. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. As we pray the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, we ask for the Lord's protection within the attacks that we fully expect to come. And that's why Paul writes in Ephesians 6, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. The armor of God, the full armor of God, is available for the Christian, but we must appropriate it every day. We have to get dressed every day and suit up in the full armor of God. Imagine a soldier advancing towards the enemy with flaming arrows raining down on this troop of soldiers. What would you think of that soldier if he dropped his shield? Or if he held it at his side? You would say only a fool would lower his protection because these arrows are coming. But this is exactly what we do when we fail to pray. We are advancing toward the enemy without our protection in place. In all circumstances, Paul says, take up the shield of faith. We exercise that faith in the Lord Jesus by praying in his name. We often say here, it's not the amount of faith. You're not trying to muster up a inner conviction so that if you believe enough, God will do. No, it's not the amount of your faith. It's the object of your faith. The tiniest mustard seed of faith that says Jesus is enough to protect us. At the name of Jesus, the demons flee. The devil cannot stand. There's some funny little stories in the New Testament. You know, you've got the one in the gospel accounts where we don't know who these guys are, but they're casting out demons in Jesus' name. And it appears that it was working. And the disciples come and they're mad because they're like, who are these guys? What do they think they're doing? And Jesus is like, leave them alone. You got plenty of other fish to fry. Like, don't worry. If they're not against us, then they're for us at that point. But later in Acts chapter 19, there's seven sons of a Jewish priest who are trying to cast out demons in Jesus' name. And maybe they had some success, maybe not. But they meet this one kind of powerful demon who's like, well, Jesus, I obviously know. Paul, I've heard about. But I don't know you jokers. And this one demon-possessed man beats these seven guys so bloody that all of their clothes are gone. I don't know if you've ever been in a fight, but that's a bad fight. And the lesson was that the name of Jesus is powerful, but you have to actually know him. You have to actually be in a personal relationship with him. And so for those of us who know the name of Jesus, And he prays this over us, Father, protect them in your name. This is our first petition to not only join Jesus in praying for ourselves and for our loved ones, Father, protect us in your name. Shelter us not only from the coming judgment, but shelter us from the attacks that we know will come against us as we advance for your kingdom purposes. I've been listening to the Voice of the Martyrs a little bit and reading through that Open Doors booklet on the persecuted church. And one of the testimonies from Iran, I believe, was Christians saying, if we are quiet and stay home and do nothing, we are perfectly safe. It's only when we go and talk to people and share our faith with others that then we are in danger. But they know that's the calling, and so they continue to do it, recognizing that danger will come, and many will face imprisonment, fines, and even death for the name of Jesus. I hope you take advantage of that little book that we passed out from Open Doors, and there are a few more copies in the back if you didn't get one last week. That's our first prayer. Lord, protect us in your name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe. Second petition of the Lord, sanctify us in your truth. Here's Jesus' prayer. Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As those who have been forgiven for our sins, set free from the power of sin, we have been declared righteous in Christ. We have been declared holy before God. Hebrews 10:14 has become one of my favorite verses in scriptures. Through a single offering, he has made perfect for all time those who are being sanctified. The whole mystery of the gospel is wrapped up in that one verse. Through a single offering, through the cross and the single gift of his gracious death for us, he has made perfect forever. We are declared righteous. We are just in him. God looks at you and he sees the righteousness of Jesus. You are perfectly sanctified at the moment of saving faith, and yet in the same time, you are being sanctified. Made perfect forever those who are being sanctified. Isn't this remarkable that Jesus prayed for your sanctification and then went to the cross for your salvation? He prayed for it. He accomplished it. And you know what Jesus is doing right now? He lives to make intercession for us. He continues to pray for our sanctification. And the gift that he's given us to provide, multiple gifts, obviously, the gospel itself, salvation itself, the Holy Spirit. But specifically, he draws our attention to the Word. The Word of God is our light. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. He says, if we are to be sanctified, we must prayerfully ask the Lord to sanctify us through his word. The word of God is our light. It is our joy. He says, now I'm coming to you. These things I speak in the world for this purpose, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The very joy that unites Father and Son within the Godhead. The joy of the Lord Jesus, the overflowing fountain of all life and blessing, is available to us. And he prays that his own joy would be not just a little fleck or two in us, but that it would be fulfilled in us as we grow closer to him, as we pray, as we fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God. You battling the darkness of discouragement? Open God's word. Look for some light in the scriptures. Are you feeling confused about life and what to do next? Go to God's word to find light and hope and encouragement. Are you feeling weak and struggling with temptation and just the challenges of this life? Open God's word. And through him speaking to you, let him stoke the fires of your joy. The light is available for us through this amazing book. The best resource, I believe, for our growth and sanctification is joy. Way better than guilt, way better than fear, way better than obligation, the best resource for growth is joy. To find the ways that you delight to spend time with the Lord, that you enjoy being with Him, that you can experience the fullness of His love for you. This is how it is in every healthy relationship. Is it a burdensome obligation for you to serve your spouse? If it is, please call me so we can talk and work on that. Remember back to your early days of dating when you didn't have to really struggle and discipline yourself to find the right gift or to go out on a date. It was joyful. It was the delight of your heart. You just wanted to be together. It didn't even matter what you were doing. Do you have to work up a bunch of discipline and energy to go hang out with your kids and grandkids? Do you have to, like, really grit your teeth and say, all right, I'll play another round of FIFA with you, you know? Because some of you are terrible at that. Not me. I will school you in FIFA. Hockey is another thing that, you know, but you don't have to work up. Do you have to, like, is it this big, difficult thing for you to take your grandkids out for ice cream, you know? Enjoyment is the fuel of a relationship, and this is what God gives us through His Word. Kindle the light of joy, and the gospel is our resource for rekindling that. It is our life of love through the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus says this. He's about to be arrested. He's about to go to the cross. For their sake, He says, I consecrate myself that they may also be sanctified. Same word happening here. Jesus says, I set myself apart that they may be set apart. He set Himself apart on the cross. He consecrated Himself to the work of the Lord to die for sinners like you and me, that we might be set apart from this world as a holy offering He gives back to the Father. The gospel is not only the message that gets you saved in the first place, it is the power of God for your complete salvation from beginning to end until you stand before God on that final day. And so as we remember the fullness of His love, as we experience it, this is the Ephesians 3 prayer, that you might know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is how we can join in, not only praying that the Lord would sanctify us in His truth, but pursuing that growth in sanctification through the Word, through the gospel, inviting Him to fill us and grow us to be more and more like Him. Lord, protect us in Your name. Sanctify us in Your truth. And one more petition of the Lord. Empower us through Your Spirit. Father, as You sent me, so I have sent them into the world. Jesus kept saying to His followers, it's better for you that I go. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and then you will all have power and guidance to go out and continue this mission that Jesus started and we are continuing to work on to bring the gospel to the nations. It's interesting, this word, the world, because He has just said, I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for my followers. The world can represent, there's two different things going on. The world that we don't pray for is the kingdom of darkness that Satan reigns over. There's no hope for Satan and his minions. We don't pray for them. The world that we are sent into is the people, the lost people that are victims of the enemy. We do pray for them. We do go to them. We do bring the light of the love of God's grace to them. We have been sent to go and make disciples of all nations, and we are not sent out helpless. We have the Helper with us, our tutor, the Holy Spirit. The Father will send in my name. He'll teach you all things. He'll bring your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit not only helps us understand the Word of God, but helps us explain His Word to others. As we are changed by the gospel, as we are filled with and empowered by the Spirit, He helps us to remember, to understand, to believe, and to apply all that Jesus said, all that He did. John 16, Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, He will guide you into all the truth. What a promise. Whatever point you're hung up on, whatever question and struggle you have, the Holy Spirit is there to guide you into all truth. And it's a lot of what the church family is here for as well, to help answer those questions and navigate those struggles. So we pray, Lord, empower us through your Spirit to help us understand those teachings, and the Helper also empowers us to finish the work for which he sent us into the world. Jesus again said, as you sent me, so I have sent them into the world. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. This is our mission. Still around 3 billion people on this planet have not heard the name of Jesus, and so the work continues to bring the gospel to the nations, and it starts for each one of us right where we are, right with our own neighbors, friends, family members, co-workers. The Lord has positioned us to bring the good news, to share the data points of the gospel. Romans Road is a great resource for that. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. To walk through and help someone understand so they can believe, so they can call upon the name of the Lord. We've been sent out to the nations, not only with good news, but with good deeds to adorn the message. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's a corporate reality to our service. We have good works. Your small group that you're a part of has good works to do. You individually have good works to do. This is the purpose of our salvation, according to Titus chapter 2. Our great God and Savior gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Good deeds and good words should never be separated. The two were always designed to go together, salt and light, neither separately. And we've been learning a lot from the crisis response team that's been with us for a month now. And you got to love their mantra, where they always say, people over projects, people over projects. It's not about gutting a house. It's not about chopping down a tree. It's about working with these people who have been through something, and our calling is to love them in Jesus' name. We had a number of very cool opportunities. There have been a number of stories of how the Lord's connected us and worked in the hearts of people. Right up the road from here is a man named Carlos that I got to spend some time with on Tuesday. The whole ground floor of his house flooded, and many of you were there to help get all the stuff out. Saturday a week ago, gutted the 4-foot gut of the entire floor. And so for the last several weeks, we've gotten to know Carlos and his two sisters who live there, and they've been through a very difficult time. One of his sisters lost her husband a year and a half ago to aggressive colon cancer, and now her son is dying of the same kind of cancer in the hospital right now. When I first met them, that was the burden on their heart, was his nephew Angel, what they articulated was, our main desire is that he be saved. And we're like, what do you mean by that? that he put his trust in Jesus. And so we said, okay, there's a faith background here. And Tuesday, as I was talking to Carlos and just listening to more of his story, his story personally turned 5 years ago when he had a serious heart attack. And it was, I hadn't heard of this kind of a heart attack before. It was a 5-day heart attack. I didn't know you could have a heart attack for 5 days. He just got sicker and sicker and didn't realize that's what was happening. So finally, his brother took him to the hospital, and they immediately had 5% heart productivity, whatever. That's very low, I guess. Yeah, you want more than that. And so they immediately took him from St. Joe North, immediately put him on a helicopter down to St. Joe downtown, and immediately took him in for bypass surgery, triple bypass. And they were like, it's a miracle you're alive. He gets to St. Joe downtown, he and his brother, and they're you know, getting processed in or whatever, and they see this beautiful woman, which, you know, you're at a hospital, you know, whatever could happen. But she comes up to him, and she says, do you know who brought you here? And he says, well, my brother and then this helicopter. And she says, no. Do you know who brought you here? And he waits, and she says, it was Jesus. And then he said they never saw her again. in that hospital for a long time, and they never saw her again. So he and his brother have always looked back on that 5 years ago and said, what was that? And so, I you know, it's one of those, did the Lord call a human nurse to come over and have a little moment, you know, with a man? Certainly possible. Did the Lord send a beautiful angel to go? That's more Carlos's belief. But, it, you know, in that moment, he's looking back 5 years ago. Do you think the Lord was telling me something? Yeah, Carlos, I think so. I think there's a message for you there. What a privilege, how the Lord has opened up these doors of conversation, these doors of literally opening doors for us to go into homes and through service. It's that combination of good deeds that show people there's a church here that cares, there's people here that care. We got a wonderful note from someone who was helped by our team who said, "You have restored my belief in the power of goodness." But these are the opportunities we have every day. The hurricane, you know, amplified them. And we've had some, you know, additional new opportunities. But this is our calling every day. We've been sent just as the Lord Jesus was sent by the Father. So these are the petitions. The Lord prays and invites us to pray with him. First, we pray for protection and give thanks for the protection we have in the name of Jesus, our shelter from eternal judgment and God's wrath, but also our shield against all of the attacks and flaming arrows of the evil one. We pray, Lord, sanctify us in your truth to find the light of his joy in the words of this book, to find our life of love in the sacrifice of Jesus, to meditate on the gospel, to preach the gospel to ourselves and to each other, reminding each other that it's all about him, his love, and the fullness of his grace, and then asking for his power to strengthen us through his Spirit so we can understand and believe and apply all we read here, and then bring that message to the people God's placed around us. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this prayer of the Lord Jesus. What a beautiful picture of the heart of our Savior who was concerned for our protection, knowing that there is an enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion and seeking those he would devour, but we are safe in your name, Lord Jesus, and we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that in you we can be sanctified and we can grow in your grace through the gift of your word, through the message of the gospel, being reminded of the fullness of your love for us. Let your joy be in us and let our joy be full as we grow closer and closer to you. And Holy Spirit, empower us, strengthen us to understand this good news and to share it, to have perseverance to continue to love and serve even those who are not so easy to love and to serve. And Lord, work in the hearts of those around us to draw many to saving faith in you, that they might come under the shelter of your protection and into the arms of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.